There are three areas which we put emphasis, although there are other additional areas that might not be the scope of this brief. Intercommunal conflict is that is generated by communities fighting over resources, and these are mainly in Warab, in lakes, and in other areas. And then you have another intercommunal conflict that is has come about due to a huge number of IDPs that are present in three BOC sites, particularly in Malakal and Bentiu, which has brought together communities that were fighting in a very small space. And then you have another communal conflict that is generated by migration of a huge number of livestock from areas such as Warab, from lakes, from Jungole, and moves into relatively peaceful areas in the equatorial. That has generated also a lot of conflicts. These cattle moves to Western Equatoria State. I'm talking about the names of previous states. It moves to Eastern Equatoria. It moves to former Central Equatoria. And the conflict that you have seen today and the last few months has its genesis in Western Equatoria. A huge number of livestock that has moved in those areas, that has taken a lot of land, and the local communities, after exhausting local traditions of resolving these issues, have mobilized themselves and are fighting back. So the first one, intercommunal conflicts that are mainly on fighting over resources, water, pasture, issues related to the absence of rule of law, issues related to the absence of policing, of judiciary, in particular Warab and lakes, have become so endemic that in one time, somewhere in mid-2015, late-2015, the number of people that have been killed in lakes on attacks and revenge attacks has somewhat surpassed the actual number of people that have died in the active conflict between the two main parties. That is the gravity of that situation over there. The government have tried different means. The president himself went there in April 2015, where ANMIS was represented by myself. We had a reconciliation conference over 3 days. We thought that issue was resolved. It started again after 2 months. So that issue is still continuing as we speak. 2 weeks ago, we have, in a matter of 1 week, where 30 people were killed. And there is no determination of who this person is. Just because somebody is killed, you know, somebody takes revenge and kills a woman and a child, you cannot move on the roads. So that whole lake state has been an area of conflict. On Warab, it's a little bit better, but it's also moving into that direction. Again, the absence of security, the absence of implementation of peace agreement is more often you see communities are brought together, they sit for 2-3 days, they agree to end the violence, they sign peace agreements, but what's lacking is that peace agreement is not implemented. There is no enforcement from the side of the local authorities. And once this implementation fails, and the aggrieved communities see that whatever has been agreed has not been implemented, then they go on the revenge attack. Conflicts in Upper Nile, for example, in the BOC, Protection of Civilian, you have three major communities who have been fighting during this war, confined in that small space of Malakal, protection of civilian site. There has been shifts of allegiances and supporting each other. Now you have three distinct groups. Two groups, I don't have to mention the names, you all know, are on one side. One group is on the other side. You have also security organs that come to the BOC either to conduct some business or to visit their relatives that are also either agitated or part of the conflict. And there is a continuous cycle of conflicts. But nonetheless, our military, our police, our civilian components, the support of the INGOs and the UN agencies have tried to reduce and to curtail to the minimum. And I think we have been successful. We have worked establishing local committees in the BOC that meet regularly and discuss these issues. So there are local committees from the three communities that meet regularly. They discuss. Sometimes they give us an early warning on, you know, a group of youth that are mobilizing to attack, and we immediately intervene, but that conflict is there. The same in Bentiu, you have a major community occupying, but that major community now and before the conflict is also divided among themselves. One group siding with one side of the conflict, another group siding with the other side of the conflict, and they have been agitating among themselves, and there has been a continuous. Again, there are local conflict mitigation mechanisms that has been established, and we continue to help reduce these conflicts. Our unmissed teams in both these states have for the past 2-3 months helped bridge the gap between the state governments and the IDB community leaders and have facilitated contacts between the leadership of the state, who all you know are outside this campus, and there has been several meetings where the local authorities, acting governors, ministers, have met with the community leaders from the protection of civilian sites and agreed to continue meeting and agreed to help these communities come back to Bentiu town, come back to Malakal town, at least to move around, to scout, to open small kiosks and businesses, and promising that former civil servants who are still in the BOCs will be paid their salaries, have encouraged to improve the situation of security in the town, to encourage people to come back to the town, at least in the short term. On the final conflict which we spoke about, between migrating communities, there is one migration outside South Sudan. For example, Eastern Darfur, the community in Eastern Darfur called Rizegat, move once a year to Northern Bahr al-Ghazal. They spent in South Sudan 4 or 5 months. They come in with, you know, huge number, more than sometimes 500,000 heads of cattle, sometimes more, with their families, with their entire families. That particular migration has been so successful and so well organized for the past 2 years that there were very, very minimum incidents. How that has happened, the local state government officials and the Arab communities from Eastern Darfur has been regularly meeting with the support of ANMIS and with two American NGOs, Concordis and ECOM. We bring these two community leaders together. They have been drawing and agreeing on local conflict management and mitigation. They make local agreements which specifically deals with what happens if somebody is killed, what happens if cattle is raided, what happens if cattle goes in somebody's farm, what happens if cattle diverts from the route that has been agreed, what happens. And all this has been agreed and signed by these two communities. and fully supported by the state governments. That has, you know, helped the communities from the other side of the border to come and graze their lives for a long period of time. And then both communities benefit. The communities that are coming from Eastern Darfur sell livestock and bring other goods. The communities on this side, at least 14 and 15 and 13, sell grain, exchange other items. ECOM and Concordas have established what they call peace markets along the border, where the two communities come on particular days of the week and intermingle and exchange goods and continue to be talking. There has been other areas where the Misriya, for example, tried to migrate from the side of Mayom in former Bentiu. Last year they have migrated. The local SPLA and the local county commissioners facilitated, but at the departure time, there were allegations of them looting some cattle and killing few people. So this year, the county commissioner and the local government officials are insisting that they will not accept the migration of Misriya until the issues that are a residue of their departure time last year are being addressed. The early issue, I mentioned it, the Equatoria, former Equatoria state receiving a lot of cattle, has been an ongoing conflict from 2013. And even recently, a village called Lobonog, Wondruba, I think some of you name, which are not far from Juba, has been the scene of cattle migrating from jungle that has taken a big chunk of land, farming land, areas where these people access to the river and beehives destroyed, and then local conflicts broke out. I think you all know everybody has a gun, and some of these people who didn't own weapons in the past have acquired weapons, so these conflicts have been generated. Finally, let me conclude what has been our activities and impacts. We have resources as Civil Affairs Division. Three consecutive years we have been getting increased funding. From 2012-13, we had about 200,000 budget, mostly and exclusively for helping communities organize, helping communities meet, helping communities meet each other and help and organize and mitigate conflicts. 13-14, it has increased to 400,000. 14-15, it has increased a little bit, 20,000.